All right, now we're official. We're back, episode 36 here at the Contractor Compass. Today we got a special guest on, Rafael Diaz, the owner of Anthony & Son. We're going to be asking him some questions here today. Super easy conversation. We're missing Jason today, which is he's got called down to Florida or whatever the heck happened with him. But we got Tom. Hopefully Tom has no dentist visits this episode. And we should be good to go. But we'll make it short and easy here. Raf, if you don't mind, just kind of give us a quick intro of yourself, and I'll throw some questions at you along the way. So kind of the business, how you got started, where you're located at, all that stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Colton, for having me on your podcast today. My name is Rafael. I'm the owner of Anthony & Son in Montgomery County, Maryland. My company started about almost 11 years ago. We're a team of about 14 staff and growing. But 11 years ago I had started, it was just me running calls, just like standard, you know, startup companies. And then, I met Colton, like, I think, a year later I heard about him, and, he was part of this 10X community thing that I did. And, I called him up and I said, "Hey Colton, I can't afford you yet, but I'd like to know more about you." And, you know, that's kind of the peak of the conversation of how I started learning about, marketing and what people are doing out there. And, you know, I did have prior experiences, but, you know, like everyone says, when they start off, they jump the gun and go with every marketing because they don't know any better. They sell you the show. And, you know, that worked out only so far. And I guess I've been with Colton now about, 5 years, I think?
Long time.
Yeah, I've been with him a good while. Or probably longer, honestly, because I you know, it definitely has been a great journey. And here I am standing. I got finally my warehouse. We got a total now 9 vehicles out there. So it's been a great progress of you know, success over the few years. But
yeah, absolutely. And we'll dive into that. I want to dive into, I mean, you touched on a lot of stuff there. I want to dive into some of that a little bit more, but let's start from the beginning. So, you know, what inspired you to start the company in the first place, right? Like, what was the aha moment where, like, I'm going to do this for me? And
were you in the industry before you started your own business? Obviously.
Yeah. So of course I'm the burnout employee. You know, like, you either decide to start something and, or you just continue to work and retire. So I had a bigger dream than that. I mean, pretty much I worked for a company locally in the DMV area, and I didn't like their ways. I didn't like how companies grow and your employees don't. You know, it's the pyramid thing where you reach a certain level and those employees that took you to the very top are left behind. Now you're just a number. That tends to happen a lot in this industry. And so I don't know. I pulled the plug. I had a nice fiance now that, you know, believed in me and gave me some good encouragement that I was able to do this. And, you know, I just I think that helped a lot, you know, with who you're partnered with kind of helps you make that jump.
For sure.
But, you know, to be honest with you, I was just done. I've been in the field for about 19 years. I started when I was 18. You know, I'm now 43, still feel young in my 40s. But, you know, I worked for many years with many different companies, and you know, I got to learn everything about the trade as far as, you know, just the burnout. I mean, I've done it all: installs, service, pick up parts. I started from the very bottom. So that kind of, you know, got me into HVAC. I think one day I just had enough and I decided to run a call, and I realized that was great. And I turned one customer into almost 10,000 customers. Like, it just, and the biggest thing is when you're trying to take this experience and take the ride, you just got to go.
Yeah.
Just go and make the jump and you know, learn from there after where everything else of what it takes.
For sure. So two questions I have on that. So one, you mentioned you're like, you know, you had someone kind of backing you, right? Right. With your fiance and how much of a difference do you think that made? Do you think you still would have made that decision without that like external voice being like, hey, you're like, you can do it.
So I come from a background where, you know, I didn't know what to do in college, so I didn't want to go to college. I took a trade as part of the career and I learned it to the best that I could. And, you know, I've had many shares of experiences in life, and I got married and had a divorce. So that divorce actually was the one that really pushed me. The additional person next to me was more like a help that I had encouragement.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether I would have had it or not, I still would have made the decision. I think it just would have been maybe harder. A little slower for me or a little harder.
Yeah.
You know?
But
when you have kids and, you know, you do the best thing because you want to try to do the right things for them. So
100%. Yeah, you were looking long term.
I was thinking long term. And, you know, if I didn't have kids, I think this conversation would be different.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like you mentioned you just had a day where you ran a call and you're like, you know, I can do this. Do you feel like you had a lot of skill with like on the sales side? Because usually a lot of times what we see is like, okay, it goes one of two ways, right? There's an owner who starts who's like, I'm just really good at what I do. I'm really good at this trade, right? Like, I like it and I think I can go build a business. And a lot of times when they do that, some of them will succeed, but they have to find that other piece. So they have to find that sales piece. Or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you had one thing that you're like, I'm really good at this. I'm good at talking to people, or I'm getting relationships with the customer. Like, what do you feel was like your superpower that allowed you to grow and like actually make a sustainable business?
Yeah, I did realize that one of the things that I was very unique and very talented is that I was a listener. I was a very good listener to people, and by being a good listener, they would open up to me, and you know, it wouldn't start of HVAC repair, it would start of something in their family, something of their life, or their dog, their kids, or and yeah. I just related to so many customers that just being a good listener allowed me to really be able to be a great seller, because I just kind of used that concept of an entry to the door with them that I understood them, and then we build relationships that way. And I think the biggest key for me was building relationships with homeowners rather than cut me a check, goodbye, you know, or I know how to do my job. You know, that's the difference that I did as a startup business owner. I related to them, but yes, a lot of it came because, you know, of my past experience. I learned about commission, I learned about hourly work, and I also learned about piecework. So, like, I've done it all.
Which also helps on the employee side as well, because of your background and your relatability and your listening skills. That, yeah, you need both. You need the customer.
Slowly you realize when you start hiring individuals, you start realizing how you're so relative to them and how you can help them understand how you want your business to operate. And, you know, in some cases, it doesn't always work because that one guy wants an extreme value. But, you know, it's something where we can compromise because we understand the pay rates. But, yes, that definitely did help me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes complete sense. Speaking of that, like in the early days when you were bringing people on, or maybe even earlier, right, when it was a lot of it was just you, what are some of the biggest challenges you faced right away in year one, right? And how did you kind of navigate those things? Because I mean, that's kind of like do or die moment, right? For a lot of businesses, right? They don't have the capital, they don't have, like, if they don't figure it out and figure it out somewhat quickly, they're going to be back running calls for somebody else.
Absolutely. So the first part is setting yourself up with some kind of, you know, assistance who's going to give you some calls, because calls don't come from anywhere. So
Yeah.
A lot of startup guys, the best thing is more like some kind of home warranty program. You know, it gives you some calls, something that kind of guarantees you some call in your way. And then you have to show those people, because in the market space, when you start, you don't know anybody like Colton. You don't know until you start, you know, unless I had the greatest connection from the beginning, that would have been great. But they don't hand you the booklet. You got to figure it out. So, you know, when I see all these advertisements online now, because it's more visible now for startup guys that want to start, you know, it's really good to pay attention to that stuff, because back then they weren't really showing it as much as they are now. But yeah, I literally just within that first year, I pretty much just, you know, started noticing that I needed to have a more priority impression. So rather than just showing up and giving them my, you know, what their issue is, what is it going to take to resolve? I came up with a game plan. I needed to use all the knowledge of everything I've been taught by all these companies. So I made sure to have proper uniforms, shoes, shoe covers, mask. I mean, all these things that I took all the same experience, and I had no capital. So I had to make use of my means, which means, like, for example, if I made a good job or sold a unit, I would save percentage out of that and know that I had to keep, you know, using that little percentage to keep growing.
Yeah.
To keep paying things. I mean, it was amazing. Yeah. I didn't know any better until I just kept trying things over and over of like, how am I going to use this money and where am I going to invest my money?
Correct. So, and not to cut you off, Rat, but you said something there, Tom, how many times in different podcast sessions that we talked about the importance of the boot covers and the polos and looking like a professional, and guys that are going to be listening to this, this is when Raf started in the beginning. And so many guys put that aside and they don't look professional. They don't look the part. You are not going to be the most trusted person if you do not look the part. And now you got, I mean, we've always preached it, but you know, they can say, oh, you know, that's a marketing guy and a consultant and a finance guy, right? And it's like, they don't know. This is somebody who's done it sitting here telling you that that was one of the biggest things that they did initially, was to leave the best impression of a professional company that's going to take care of their customer. So I just want to touch on that, because we've said that like 10,000 times on this podcast. But
I've seen sales techs and doing sales training, and they look like they're a hood rat or something like that. It's like, my gosh, I wouldn't open the door for that guy.
Yeah.
Clothes are disheveled and his hair's, you know, like, the guy looks like he's going to mug you. Give me a quote on an air conditioner. And then, because I'm in the financing side, and then the guy says, okay, well, you want financing. What's your social security number and your date of birth? And I'm not giving you that information.
What's crazy about that is that I didn't get into the financing until a few years down the road, because, you know, one, most banks didn't want to take me in because I wasn't making over $1 million or close to 500,000. So a lot of
we can help with that. But anyway, you're past it now. So
yeah, now I'm past it. But you know, it was one of those things where you just didn't want to work again for anybody. You just wanted to keep moving forward and keep learning. So I definitely would encourage anybody that, you know, is trying to grow and continue on growing with their HVAC, you got to go to events. The events are the most important thing, because you find people that are in there that are going to be the resource to the help you're looking for. That's just kind of what I did. I kept going to more events. I can name 100 of them, but it really all came down to really learning in the end, stick to what you do, not what you're not doing. So it has to be HVAC related. You're going to anything else, it's probably going to help your mindset, your vocabularies, the way you talk to people. But the real big thing is sticking with an HVAC.
Yeah. So let's talk about, like, from, once again, just kind of going with the growth of the business. So, you know, when you were one truck, right? Single person operation, you know, it's obviously now multiple trucks on the road. if you can pick out a few key decisions that you made, that might be hard, right? But a few key decisions that you made to go from that chuck in the truck guy, right? Because I've talked to hundreds of companies that will get on calls and they'll be like, well, yeah, I've been in business for, 35 years. I'm like, okay, sweet, right? How many people do you have in the field, in the office? And they're like, well, it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really proud of that, some of them. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Like, you clearly like what you do. But is that something that we should be thrilled about, right? Because we got, like, I've talked to companies that come on and they're 2 years old and they're doing $10 million a year. Right. So it's like, if that's what you want, that's great. But are you trying to build the business? And if they're talking to me, they're trying to build the business. So my question would be, are there any like key decisions or like inflection points that you were like, you could look back on and be like, okay, that's what helped me go from just me to more people to keeping the momentum? What does that look like?
Good question. So, when I first started, I was that I would love to know who's making 10 million just being a two-man crew. That's
no, amazing. 2 years. Two years.
Okay.
2 years, not two people.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that 2 year push and make 10 million, that's kudos to them, because that's always a lot of pressure there. But I'm sure if it's only them two putting in all that hard work, that's extreme, because I see now the numbers we're at and I need a team. I need
100%. Yeah. And like I said, to clarify, that was 2 years they hit a $10 million run rate, not two people.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like for me, when I, in the beginning for us, it was just survive, let's, be realistic here. I wasn't thinking growth. I was just thinking I need to survive, feed my family, make sure the rent is paid, make sure we can buy groceries, and make sure my cars are still intact. So, I knew that a trade, and I was good at it, that I was, I would always make it through. That's one thing. So, but when I started noticing that we were making 200, 300, 400,000, I managed to make in 1 year 700,000, that I was like, Okay, I made a lot of money, but where do I really understand how this money is going to get dispersed, and how's Uncle Sam going to get taken care of, and all these things that start coming into questions.
Correct.
You don't realize that you gotta multitask before you start growing and do so many other things that you need to understand part of the business. But it's not scary. It just means, you're going to want to learn this, so that way you can then eventually encourage others to come and work for you, because you've mastered this part.
Well, and what I've learned is, in the past, when I was younger, I was all about what I knew.
Yeah.
But now as I get older, it's better to know what you don't know and then find someone that is the professional or the expert in that field to give you advice, instead of like, well, I'll figure it out. Okay, well, you could burn 6 months trying to figure it out, or you can pay a guy $500 to tell you what to do.
Absolutely. That was the key point that I started realizing, that if I'm going to make $700,000, I need to get some good advice here so I can understand is how the government works, how this works, how all these little things that tie into running a business operate. So instead, the second year I decided I needed to invest into the right accountant, the right, things that are going to protect me in the long run. And, kind of that's how I thought as growth, rather than, just going and buy a nice truck and that's all I live for. Right. Because I did that so proactive, I met someone along the line because I was going to these meetings and they encouraged about growth. I had no clue about growth. I just wanted to work and pay the bills, and that's what I lived for. But when I met this individual, it encouraged me about growth, that I was like, well, what does it take to grow a company and get to $1 million? And that's kind of what encouraged me after to push myself and maybe see if that was something I can handle.
Another thing that I think has aided in our conversations over the years, I think has aided in just the growth of the business, is your culture, right? And I say that I just feel like you have a lot of people that you're a very stand-up individual, right? So I think that there's a lot of people that would, you know, jump off a cliff if you asked them to. So I mean, it's culture's clearly something that you care about, right? So how have you maintained that as you grow on your team, right? And how do you plan to do so in the future as you continue to grow?
You know, up until recently, I thought I had it all figured out, right? And I was like, well, you know, we have our staff meetings every once a week, and I've worked on core values, and I also worked on mission statements, and I saw what future I wanted to hold here as a company. I finally realized that the structure to continue to grow with this company is a management team that can actually coordinate us to, you know, each individual for us to have processes. So that way, when new people come in, there's a process, not me sitting down with them and going over what I want. They have training. So we hired, we hired a company that can actually help us with that. And I guess a lot of companies, when they get to, you know, certain levels in their HVAC company, you know, you can bring in someone that can train on those individual things. But yeah, definitely our core value is very important. And that's something that came in afterwards, because, you know, I learned a lot about individuals when you hire, you know, and not everybody cares about your vision and they're not aligned with your company. So I had to make sure that I am always aligning people in what the company values are. And if they're not aligned, well, then we slowly make our ways different.
Yeah. So you think that, like, through the hiring process and finding the people that, you know, you have are bought into the vision of what the company is going to be, you feel like that is the thing that's reflected so positively on, like, the overall culture of the team and, you know.
Well, yes and no, because, you know, obviously people don't want to do business with just people.
Yeah.
People want to do business with reputation, ownership, management. You know, they the bigger you get, the more you start realizing the kind of individual customers that are trying to get your attention. So, you know, with me, it's really building my relationships with our vendors. Vendors is the key that has really helped me align even better, because, you know, not only are we speaking, you know, with customers, but we're also speaking with vendors that are local that can also help your business to encourage it as well. I mean, I think every vendor has their big account, but at the end of the day, you know, you're in their account that they can also help you with your growth. So I felt like that has helped us a lot.
Okay, cool. That's interesting. So, you know, kind of continuing that train of thought in terms of, like, culture and quality of staff and creating good relationships. So, you know, in especially in the home service space, right, your reputation is everything. You know, and you knew that from the beginning. That's why you took those steps to make sure you looked, you know, everything was presentable and you could make the best impression, even if you were just one man show.
Yeah.
You know, how do you ensure now that your team upholds those same standards so that your techs represent themselves and the brand well, you know, from first contact point with the customer all the way through the completion of the job and follow up? What is that? Do you have, like, a process for that?
Yeah, there's a process and consistent training, consistent reminders. I mean, you know, installers and staff, it's not to say that they're babies, but they need someone constantly reminding them, you know, what they constantly need to do correct on the field. So we have a processing thing of videos we watch for training, manager meetings every week just to, you know, implement and go over things that, you know, we don't live in a perfect HVAC field. So, yeah. You know, we constantly have to remind the mistakes or how do we correct it? So we have, you know, I have someone in charge of just now. Well, thankfully, now I have someone in charge that helps me with installs someone that helps me, you know, coordinate that. I mean, I'm not the biggest man. I'm still working on, you know, service managers and many other positions. But it definitely is great to get at a level where I can start focusing on those things.
Correct. And I think, honestly, I think that's what makes this conversation so valuable, because you aren't the biggest fish yet, right? And like, you're doing it. You are doing the things that you're what we're talking about, right? It's one thing to look at somebody in the beginning, be like, oh, they haven't accomplished anything in the beginning. It's another thing to look at somebody all the way at the end, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, $200 million a year. Like, oh yeah, well, look at all the resources they have.
Mm-hmm.
Different to look at somebody in the middle, right? That is on the path of growth, of that type of trajectory. And it's just, I think it just is more relevant to people. So let's kind of flip the script a little bit. And when you're bringing on new team members, let's say what you're looking for, let's say that there's a smaller company and they're getting into the loop of wanting to start and hire some techs and other field employees beyond just them. Now, what do you look for in a technician, beyond just the actual technical skill? Right. So what do you look for beyond that? You know, soft skills, attitude, they're, you know, if they're a culture fit, are there things that you look for beyond, okay, yes, you can do the job, or that you looked for in the beginning and still to this day to know that that's somebody that you may want to bring on? Cause on a hire, especially when it's your first hire, second hire, whatever, that's a big undertaking, right? For a lot of people. Cause now you're cutting your paycheck in half or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. So what, is there anything that you looked for in those people beyond just, like, they can get the job done, they like technical skills?
Yeah. So, you know, I believe that I've been very blessed. You know, I just truly have believed that God has helped us out in many ways. But for me, when I did the hiring with individuals that were installers, I got to learn what subcontracting was first. I did subcontracting in the very beginning. So I didn't just have the opportunity to just hire, because you didn't know if you can really guarantee work for that individual family.
Correct.
So when I started off with subcontracting, I learned how to manage subcontractors. So that gave me some practice. And then once I started and I put the ad out that I'm hiring, the main processing was just getting to know them and what is it that, why would they want to leave to come and help me when they know that you know, the opportunities are probably greater somewhere else and guaranteed. You know, cause I knew my predicament. Now, you know, when you're putting in, you're a small guy and you're asking someone to come work for you, it's great that you can make them think you got the right work, but where is it you're really gonna hold it down and show them that you have the amount of work that you have and guarantee it? So, a lot of guys in the beginning would ask me, can you guarantee me 40 hours? I mean, there was so many things that I had to try to impress them. It's really me trying to impress them why they should come work for me.
Correct.
So I would just, my biggest thing is, you know, interviewing on that and you're ready to hire more employees is, you know, willing to get to know them is the biggest thing for me is, you know, yeah, you can tell me you can do the job, but tell me more about yourself. I want to know, you know, and unfortunately I've learned that in interviewings, there's a lot of questions you can't ask. So, you know, I try to be that individual, friendly, straight up guy. Hey, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I need. You think you're that qualified guy? It's more you taking control than them taking control is what I think is best when you're starting out as a company.
Yeah. So let's say you have, and you're obviously in a position kind of like this now where you need other leaders in the team. So let's say you have, you know, people that are stepping into leadership positions, service manager or whatever. How did you prepare them for that role? How do you keep them aligned with company values now that they are given a little bit more power?
Yeah. So that honest answer wouldn't have happened for me until a subject matter that happened in with a questioning that was asked us about the company. Mm-hmm. And that was when you came and asked me certain things that I was just like, you know what? I need to level myself up in a different way where I need to find out all these things that are being asked rather than, you know, and that's where you get to a level where you're like, oh gosh, I got Colton's ears now, you know, like I'm happy to know that, but now I gotta be able to justify all these things. So I left to Texas to learn about a sales program that comes in and manages and teaches. You know, if I can't invest into ways how I'm going to be a better leader in this company, then I would just be making it up right now, right?
Yeah, but, correct.
I did find a certain particular company that helps us. And there's many of them out there. I just chose this particular one. And it basically, I hired them to help us manage people, employees, and not only that, but to help us understand margins, you know, all these things that we should be doing to grow. So
yeah,
I
like that answer a lot, because it's instead of like you throwing out something that you tried or you're trying, it's like, hey, I went and sought help from exterior people, right? Which I do that all the time. I think that's the fastest, smartest way to do it.
Not everybody does that though. Everybody's like, oh, I don't want to pay. Yeah, he wants $3,000 for this. That's a lot of money. I'll figure it out myself.
And I learned that honestly, and you know, just so everybody knows that I'm giving you guys a lot of information here, but it's good because someone out there will need it, right?
Yeah. So,
you know, I ended up having a sales guy that came in, and a very wonderful guy. You know, he wanted to grow with us, but unfortunately, you know, when you come from big, large corporations and you're their salesperson, and then you come down to try to help this small company that is the talk of the town, because either I'm putting a lot of estimates out there in areas that we're competing now.
Yeah.
You know, he came in and told me, hey man, maybe you should try this. And you don't get mad at people because they give you suggestions. You take their feedback.
Yeah.
Because that one feedback is at the moment you have their attention. So that one feedback will be the information that could possibly help you if you're really trying to grow. So I listened. I didn't take anything wrong of it. And I followed through. So that way I could see if this change would allow everyone else to feel the change. And the moment the owner makes the jump, because a lot of these owners, they take their managers to go. They don't want to go to it because they got, you know, they're good where they're at. Once the owner goes, it's a commitment. And that goes to show the level of commitment you're making for your staff. And I think once they saw that, they were like, wow, he is making a change. And that encourages culture and change.
Yeah. Yeah. So on that kind of that same note of you kind of taking ownership of it and jumping in and doing whatever it is, you know, that they're talking about. Right. So how do you maintain your own energy, focus, vision? You know, how do you avoid getting too bogged down in the day to day? Cause that way, you know, we all know that happens. It just is natural sometimes, right? Shit flows upstream sometimes. And that just, it ends up with you. You're the last guy. But, you know, how do you like to maintain that? Right. You're just up. I mean, you're always a relatively upbeat guy to talk to. Right. So it's like, how do you maintain that type of energy?
You know, there's men, and I hope no one takes this offensive, but the way I do it works for me. And, but I learned many years ago that, being in a divorce teaches you lessons of, you know, you got to go through life experiences, right? So
yeah,
what the trials that each individual has in their line of work and their line of duty is what builds the line of character that you are as an individual. Not that it's not built for everybody. I think it would be it, but for me, I basically learned from my past and took it into the present. And I realized that one of the biggest things is that, you know, come clock out time, you take your work and you still talk about it at home. One thing I learned was talk about it, but use it very like in a happy way, you know, like, you know, just use this information as a happy way. Hey, look, I'm going to, you know, if I do bring it home in the afternoon, it's because I'm using it in a happy way to get advice from everybody.
Yeah. You're reframing it.
Yeah. I just reframe it. What do you think, guys? What do you think I should do? And because I involve everybody in a daily habit of work, it became easier for me rather than me going home and being stressed out about
it.
You know, it was just my psychological way of how I wanted to do it. And then, to be honest, then afterwards, I just got into physical, you know, gym, working out, making time for my mind, for my health, my eating patterns. I knew that, you know, in order to be a much more successful business owner, I'm going to have to take care of myself.
100%.
And it just kind of worked for me. And I think that's why I'm always that upbeat guy. I'm like ready to tell you positive things and great things, how you can move and survive. I mean, it's just, you know, I've been through a lot to feel like that's why I am.
That was a great answer. That was good. It was actionable for people. That was a good answer.
You are what you think about.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
I mean, you know, I started off with a book called The Secret, and that was just kind of how everything worked for me. And then from there,
that's where that came from.
Yeah. Then you start learning about little things that you need to tell yourself every morning, how to carry your day. It's not easy. It's very difficult. But if you can do that, that really will align you with great people around you.
100%. So, Raph, let's talk about the future a little bit. So looking ahead, what do you see in, you know, 3 to 5 years? What do you want that business to look like, right? Is it a bigger fleet? Is it expansion into new areas? You know, is it more verticals, more different packages? What does that look like for you?
You know, luckily and thankfully, we finally hit numbers like 3 to 4 million. So, you know, I give myself a lot of credit finally, because before I was just running. And I'm like, where are we at? You know?
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, now with everything that I'm trying to push, I, you know, like I've even spoken to you and I've told you, hey, let's franchise.
Yep.
Let's go other places, because, you know, why not? I mean, you know, I've been learning a lot that the market is up to 7 billion people, you know, and
yeah.
In fact, it's such a large market that you can't own it all. I'm not asking for it all. I'm just asking for a share of it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, a small piece of a big pie.
Yeah, it's just a small piece, man. We all have an opportunity. And if you see me growing and you see me, then it's just you know, I'm just pushing forward to keep growing. That's it. So,
yeah.
I do see myself franchising. I love to see that happen. You know, but right now I'm learning the concept of margins and numbers. And that way, you know,
yeah, making sure
my ears and eyes don't need to be in everything. But at some point, you know, because there's struggles in this, you learn about capital, you learn about, you know, wanting some capital, or where do you get the capital? And you made all the wrong moves that now you need to make money, because you need to get out of that and get into a new mindset of thinking about.
Well, if you need some capital, let me know. I'll be
great.
In consumer financing and commercial financing, but I digress.
Hold on. Wait for Tom's commercial. Hold on. We'll be back right after this short break.
Yeah, so, you know, that definitely, you know, I see myself, I would love to see myself in the one day in the 100 to 200 million dollars.
Yeah, 100%. Very doable.
I think it's capable. Do I sell at that point? I don't know, man. I just need me a few Ferraris and I'm good.
Hell yeah, brother. That's awesome. I kind of just touched on this. I was going to ask if there was any like really bold goals that you have set for the company that maybe you haven't told many people yet, but that you probably just went over those.
Well, I do want to say that I do want to be more on the news. I mean, I've been landing on the local news. I've learned that's a good way to promote your company and, you know, brand your name a little bit. It does cost a little bit, but it's worth it.
For sure. Yeah, people want to work with people they know and like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Last, like, tactical question here. Mm-hmm. So as you grow, your systems, your people, your team, how do you plan on keeping the personal touch of a smaller company?
Mm. I tried to pass that down to everybody that, you know, we must always think that we're small.
Yeah.
I don't know why that works for me really good. And even to this day, I have people like, Raf, you're big. No, I'm small. You know, I'm just a piece of the pie. And they're like, no, man, like you're all over Instagram, Facebook. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, and I never hide it. They're like, who's doing your marketing? You know, and I'm like, my boy is.
Like, we're holding it down over here.
Yeah, I never lie. I always, you know, and sometimes certain people tell me, you can't give you all your juices out, you know, and I'm like, but you don't understand that the juice ain't affecting me.
100%. It's the implementation too. You can give them all the juice they want, whether they implement and do the things that you've done. That's the hard part.
That's the hard part. Exactly. And that's where I always say, you know, can you do all the things that I've done?
And
maybe you won't, but at least you'll have something that can at least be consistent to you to not have you or your family have to worry about what situation you're in, you know, because when you start off, you don't have a clue. Hey, just start off with a good marketer and you're good. You know, can everybody find the right one? I mean, I think that's where it comes into the same experience of you got to have this experience before you find what you're capable of doing. So,
yeah. Couple of rapid fire things. So for contractors listening, just in the home service space in general, could be HVAC, could be roofing, whatever. Two or three things that you would encourage them to focus on now if they want to scale in a smart manner rather than just chasing, you know, job after job and trying to figure it out. Two or three things that you would, nuggets that you would give them.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one. So learn to say no to certain jobs.
You want the other one.
Saying yes to a job that you're losing margins and you're just trying to make that extra $2,500 may not be turning out the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Learn that literally cuts the real customers coming that you can make the right margin with and will value your expertise and your knowledge.
Yeah, I love that.
That's one piece. The second would be if you're listening and you know about tier one clicks.
Hey.
Get
now
on it.
Now it's Colton's commercial.
Get on it. I'm telling you now, you're missing out if you don't, because you know it's a lot of people out here giving you the show that they can do what they can do for your company. And I'm sure they won't let you down, but
in the rare case they do.
Experience. I would definitely recommend get on somebody, like if you're listening, join, because there's nothing else holding you back. If you're holding yourself back if you're not doing that.
Correct.
And then third, you know, I think the third part is difficult because for me is training now. You know, now I'm training myself weekly to improve where I'm currently at now. So I would say whatever level you're at, but if you're a startup, I think the third would be, you know, decide, you know, if that's a tricky one, man. It's a real tricky one for every level there is, you know, you got beginner, startup, end, and even.
Yeah, correct. Bigger guy.
I think the third would just be. I think my third for them would be write down what your goal is, you know?
Yeah. Have a destination.
Have a destination.
For sure.
One of the biggest things that I see from people that went through the metamorphosis of yourself of starting out, you know, coming from the trade, starting your own business, is that we, especially on the smaller, you know, 1, 2, 3 trucks, what have you, is that the owner is the best technician. And so I call him the technician with the company checkbook. You know, he wants to be that guy in the field because that's what he knows. But where, like you transitioned from that guy to now you're running a very successful business. And that, I think, sometimes is the most difficult part is the guy to grow out of the lead technician to the business owner.
100%. That's one of the the key points here is that when my guys now tell me, you need to get out of the field. And I'm like, no, I'm still going to go run a call, a service call, because I'm the owner. I can do this. But you don't realize that, you know, you're not stepping in anybody's toes, but, you know, if you're going to grow, you're going to need to understand you need to set back and let yourself grow and not be the number one star of everything.
100%. 100%. Yeah. All right, Rav, last question. So if you could go back and talk to yourself 5 years ago, starting out, what would you tell him?
I would have told them, fucking Colton, I can afford you now. Let me just sign up, because I made excuses after excuses. When I told Colton, I said, Colton, how much you charge? Raph, I'm not cheap, but I'm like, well, how much is it? And he told me the price. I was like, yeah, I'll call you back when I'm ready, like 6 months, Colton. And sure enough, I called him back. But
he did.
I regret that, because I went through a whole, almost a year, about a year, I said.
You did.
Struggle of, like, trying to market myself, when I could have just done it, because I had the answer. So sometimes when your mind tells you, you got the answer, what are you going to do with it? That's what's really holding you back. So you got to
those things. Yeah, 100%. Like a massive amount of action at a fast rate always moves the needle.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Like that just, it's just, I was talking about this the other day with a friend of mine, and all of our biggest breakthroughs in any business have always been through just a massive amount of action. And I have a buddy who is struggling with growth. And the problem is he'll pick one thing, he'll think about it for 3 months, and then he'll do that one thing. And then if it doesn't pan out the way he wants to do it, he sits on it for another 6 months before he picks another thing and he tries that. Well, I've been the exact opposite way. I'll pick six things at the same time. I'll do them all to the best of our ability. And some of those are going to be a winning solution, mm-hmm. right? And those things have moved the needle in the biggest fashion. Is it more risk? Yes. But it's always like, you're not going to win every one, right? But no. if you're moving fast enough and taking enough massive action quickly, you're bound to move forward.
Absolutely.
100%. All right, gentlemen. Well, this was episode 36. Raph, we appreciate having you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. Well, we'll have to have you back.
Next time, man.
As time goes on and as new developments happen, so you can give some more. Like I said, I think this was, we've had some guys on here, like from Air on the Clock and consultants and big companies. And I think this is way more relative to guys that are in $500,000, $1 million trying to figure it out. That was awesome. All right. Awesome. We'll see you in the next one.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it very much. Have a good one.
Bye, gentlemen. See you. Bye. Perfect.